Good evening. Certainly good to be with you this evening, and I appreciate Brother Holton's prayer. Love this congregation. Really glad to be here, to be a part of the family here, to be a part of the work. I'm really looking forward, Lord willing, to the future, to the growth of this congregation as we strive to labor in spreading the gospel. Please keep our gospel meeting in mind. As you know, it's right around the corner. And I know we're going to have a spiritual feast, and we want to encourage others to be a part of that spiritual feast, to give people an opportunity to be edified by the Word of God. This morning we talked about the need for courage. Tonight we're going to continue to add to what we've already talked about. But as a way of reminder, we notice from 2 Peter 1, verse number 5, that as New Testament Christians, we are to add to our faith this virtue, this moral courage, this mental strength that enables us to overcome our fears and to do what is right. You remember in our lesson this morning, we looked at several examples of those who demonstrated lion-hearted courage. Joshua and Caleb. We also looked at Gideon and Ezra and Nehemiah, and we ended with Esther. And as you think about what Esther said as she went before the king, if I perish, I perish. That is courage. She was willing to do what was right. And it was her act of courage, as we said, that saved an entire nation. That's the kind of courage we're talking about tonight. That's the kind of courage that we want to develop. As I said this morning, I would encourage you to study the book of Daniel. Study Daniel 3 and Daniel 6 and look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and see how they demonstrated courage. Look at how Daniel demonstrated courage when he was thrown into the lion's den. Again, that's the kind of courage that we are encouraged to have as children of God. Well, tonight what I would like for us to do is make three observations about what we said this morning as it relates to courage. And then I really want to focus in on the application. A few observations and then some more application on why courage is so important. The first observation that I want us to make tonight is this. Courage is manly. Now, before somebody accuses me of being chauvinistic, we're not talking about a gender thing. As we've already pointed out, there are great women that we read about in the Bible, like Esther, that demonstrated that lion-hearted courage. You can add to the list. Write down Jochebed, Deborah, Ruth, Rahab, Abigail, Elizabeth, Mary, Priscilla. And there are so many more that we can list. And these women demonstrated that kind of courage, that bravery. And so that's what courage is, when we show that kind of bravery to do what is right. And that's what we mean when we say that courage is manly. As you stop and think about Christianity, there is nothing about Christianity that is weak. The world wants to downplay Christianity, as you know. The world wants people to believe that Christianity is for the weak. But we know from the Scriptures that that's not so. When we study the Scriptures, we see that it takes a lot of courage, that moral strength to do what is right when we strive to serve our great God. One way that we can demonstrate this bravery is by, again, going back to the Old Testament. Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 10, I want to look at a statement that Joab makes. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 12, we see that the Syrians and the Amorites came against the people of God. And we see that Joab is going to rally the people of God. And he's going to call upon the people of God to be strong and to be courageous. And we see in verse number 12, listen to what he says, "Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth Him good." You might also write down 1 Chronicles 19, verse number 13. In the Chronicles account, it says that Joab said, "Be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly." That's what we're talking about when we demonstrate courage. It takes courage. It takes bravery to be a faithful child of God. Think about the book of Corinthians, and you may want to be turning over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, because we see another great statement along these lines in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But as you're turning over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want you to think about what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3. "Stop being babes." They were immature. Paul says, stop being babes in Christ. That is really a sign of worldliness. And throughout that book, he's encouraging them again to show bravery, to show that courage, to do what is right. You remember, as you study the book of Corinthians, they were imitating worldliness. They had a worldly mindset because Paul is dealing with problem after problem after problem. How do you know Paul has this in the back of his mind, what we're talking about? Demonstrating courage in being a Christian and doing what is right. Because what we see at the end of the book, listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. Listen to these words. Paul says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, in the gospel." Now listen to it. "Quit you like men. Be strong." Notice what he's saying. Act like men. Courage is manly. And that's the point that we're emphasizing. It takes a lot of courage when it comes to doing what is right. When it comes to being a New Testament Christian. What demands more strength, more courage? To follow a multitude to do evil, Exodus 23 verse 2, are to follow the Lamb wheresoever He goeth, Revelation 14, verse number 4. Which is easier? Which takes more courage? To be conformed to this world, Romans 12, verse 2, or to keep yourself unspotted from this world, James 1, verse number 27. What takes more strength? What takes more courage? To do whatever is right in your own eyes, according to Judges 17, verse number 6, or to be like Josiah in 2 Kings 22, verse number 2, who did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we know the answer to that question. It takes more courage when it comes to doing what is right. Courage is manly. Notice the second observation about courage. Courage helps us overcome our fears. Remember, we focused on Numbers chapter 13. And we see what fear did to them. Fear caused the Israelites to be paralyzed. When you turn over to Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 19, we learn that they couldn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Only Joshua and Caleb had the courage to say, "Listen, we are well able to do this. The Lord is with us." Only Joshua and Caleb had that courageous spirit that we emphasize from Numbers 14, verse number 24. And listen, only Joshua and Caleb from that generation, 20 and above, were allowed to enter the promised land. Not even Moses was allowed to enter the promised land. And this really shows us why Courage is so important. Turn over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, you'll remember, I just mentioned Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 19. We see that the children of Israel cannot enter the promised land because of unbelief. Now, listen to what the writer now does in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. Let us, therefore, fear. The word therefore points us back to the previous context, speaking about the children of Israel who weren't allowed into the promised land. The application is for us. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And then the writer goes on in encouraging us again to demonstrate the kind of faith. In fact, if you drop down to Hebrews 4 verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Friends, a lack of courage can keep us out of the promised land. The lack of courage can keep us out of heaven, as we can see in Revelation 21, verse number 8. Courage keeps us from looking back, like Lot's wife. In Genesis 19, verse number 26, Lot's wife looked back. In Luke 17, verse 32, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife, she looked back. As the children of God, we can't find ourselves looking back. That's what Satan wants to do. But to press forward, Philippians 3 verse 14, to press toward that mark, that finish line, toward heavenly Canaan, takes courage. And so courage helps us overcome our fears. That's why Peter says, as Christians, we're to add to our faith virtue. Courage. And the Apostle Peter will go on to say around verse number 10 through 12 that when we do that, when courage characterizes our life, we can make our calling and election sure. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I want to know that I'm going to be eternally saved. And God wants me to know that it takes courage. It takes that mental toughness to be a Christian, to always do your best, and to always strive to do what is right. You see, it is a mindset. And so, the first observation is, courage is manly. Secondly, courage can help us overcome our fears. And thirdly, courage is attainable. All of us need to know that. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. This really is part of spiritual growth, and I need to know that. Courage, the courage that we're talking about tonight, lion-hearted courage, the courage that we see with those individuals that we've been talking about today, that kind of courage is attainable. But this courage comes from a recognition of two things. The courage that we're talking about tonight, again, comes from a recognition of two things. Number one, a recognition of God's promises. This courage can be attained through a recognition of God's promises. In 2 Peter 1, verse number 4, we have exceeding great and precious promises through Jesus Christ. The promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 20. The point is, when God makes a promise, He's not going to go back on His promises. If God has promised that I'm going to be there with you, you can count on it. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to deny you. We need to focus more on the promise of eternal life the promise of forgiveness. I'm thankful for that promise. I need to know that when I repent of my sins and when I meet God's terms of pardon, whether we're talking about God's first law of pardon, gospel obedience, or whether we talk about God's second law of pardon, walking in the light, repenting of our sins, God has promised that when we meet His terms of pardon, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. A recognition of God's promises builds courage in our life. And number two, a recognition of God's presence. A recognition of God's presence helps us attain courage. As Jesus gave the Great Commission, one of the last things that Jesus wanted His apostles and even us to know, as we carry out the Great Commission, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." God wants us to know that we're not alone, that He's with us. That's why the psalmist could walk through the valley of shadow of death. Psalm 23, verse number 4. You remember what the psalmist says? "For Thou art with me." You know, a lot of times we read Psalm 23 at a funeral, and it's a beautiful psalm. Don't misunderstand me. But Psalm 23 is for the living. And that particular psalm is not a very long psalm, a very beautiful psalm. But it builds courage, knowing that God is with us, even in the valley of the shadow of death. You know, there are peaks and there are valleys as we go through this life. You know, when we're on a peak, when we're on the mountain, it's pretty easy to be happy and to say, "The Lord is with me." But when we find ourselves in the valley, sometimes that's when we begin to question our faith and even question who our God is. Don't forget that God is with you during the peaks, during the valleys. And that gives us the true courage to do what is right. And true courage is attainable only through the Lord. Now let's make some application of these three observations. Again, courage is manly. Courage helps us overcome our fears. And courage is attainable. Let's do something now with that knowledge. Notice this first application, this first point. The church today is suffering in a lot of ways because of a lack of courage. Because of a lack of courage and wanting to stand up for what is right. To stand for righteousness. Think about what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. He tells Timothy, "Timothy, I hope to come and see you shortly. But if I tarry, I want you to know that the church is to be the pillar and the ground of truth." Perhaps you've heard older preachers talk about the church being the bulwark of truth. The church is to stand up for the truth, for righteousness. The church is to love righteousness, that which is right. That which is right defined by God and revealed in the Bible. As I said, the world is always trying to downplay things. The world is always trying to take things like sin and redefine what it is. The church needs to call sin, sin. Don't allow the world to downplay sin. Notice how sometimes you see the world downplaying sin. The world will take the sin of adultery and redefine it as an affair. They'll take the sin of homosexuality and they'll redefine it as an alternate lifestyle. They'll take the murdering of children and define it as abortion. Or they'll take the sin of drunkenness and pornography and they'll call it not sin, but a disease. We need to go back to what the Bible says. and to have the kind of courage that will enable us to, out of love for lost souls, to stand up for the truth of God's Word. Listen to Proverbs 23, verse number 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. And friends, don't think that's going to happen by accident. Don't think that's going to happen by accident. If you're going to buy the truth, you're going to have the courage to speak the truth, to love the truth. But when we allow the world to influence our minds, we will find ourselves reasoning along these lines. Who am I to say anything? Who am I to make a judgment against sin? Friends, who are we not to do that? Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse number 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, listen to it, reprove those things. What is Paul saying there in Ephesians 5, verse number 11? Speak out against those things. You see, that takes courage to stand up, to have that mental toughness, again, out of love, to speak the oracles of God. If any man speak, 1 Peter 4, verse 11, let him speak the oracles of God. Speak the Word of God courageously, because the Word of God is nothing to be ashamed of. Remember, Jesus said in Mark 8, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I will also be ashamed of you. The church is suffering because of a lack of courage. The church needs to be bold. The church needs to be courageous. We need to fight against sin and help people come out of darkness. Our young people needs more courage. In Psalm 119, verse 9, the psalmist says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. And young people, I've been there a long time ago, but I've been there. And all of us can say that. It takes a lot of courage to be a young person to stand up for what is right because of peer pressure and because, you know, it's always easier to follow a multitude to do evil. The Scriptures teach us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, evil communication corrupts good morals. To be a young person and say, hey, I'm not going to go to that party because I know what is going on and I'm a child of God and I don't want to be around that kind of atmosphere, that takes courage. When Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Timothy, I want you to be an example to the believers and how you talk and how you act and how you conduct yourself as a Christian, again, that takes courage. Young people, I want to encourage you to keep yourself pure. You see so many young people committing the sin of fornication. It's a major, major problem in our society today. Even within our school systems. Do you realize that there are some school districts that are having to put cameras in the bathrooms because of what is going on, that kind of conduct? Young people, keep yourself pure. You wait until you get married. Fornication, again, is a sin. And God didn't create this wonderful body, according to 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 13, for the sin of fornication. But don't misunderstand who you are and how God created you. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. We are sexual beings. And we're going to have those sexual desires. And God has instituted a beautiful and holy union for those desires to be carried out. Marriage. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable. And the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. The church needs courage. Young people need courage. Husbands and wives need to have enough courage and integrity to honor marriage, as we pointed out from Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4. To have enough courage and integrity to allow God to govern that holy union. And we see that God has given us responsibilities. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 22. Wives are to be submissive to their husbands. Husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. And God wants men to get that right, because in 1 Peter 3, verse number 7, God says, if you don't treat your wife according to knowledge, if you don't treat her right and have a great respect for her and honor her, God says, your prayers will be hindered. God takes this very serious. Husband and wives need to have the courage to honor God in their marriage. Preachers, oh preachers, preachers need to have courage to preach the Word of God. And as they preach the Word of God, Ephesians 4, verse 15, out of love, being patient with members, giving members the opportunity to think about what is being said and giving them an opportunity to grow and not get offended because somebody might challenge you in what you say or because of constructive criticism. And I'm saying this to myself, I'm not above constructive criticism. I promise you there's a lot of improvement in my life as a gospel preacher. But preachers need to have enough courage to speak the whole counsel of God. Remembering, if you're going to be a gospel preacher, you know what? You may not be the most popular person. And if you are the most popular person, you may want to read Luke 6, verse 26, because Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." A lot of times, gospel preachers, because of their love for the truth, their love for God, will be labeled as troublemakers. You think Paul was ever labeled as a troublemaker? You know, in Galatians 4, verse 16, you remember what he told the brethren of Galatia? The brethren that he loved, the brethren that he was working with, "Have I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth." Preachers need to remember the nature of God's Word. The nature of God's Word, yes, James 1 verse 21 will save a soul. But the nature of God's Word is also offensive. You look at what Jesus taught, and you'll see what I'm talking about in Matthew chapter 15. Because even His own disciples, after they heard Jesus preach, they came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, don't you realize that you just offended the Pharisees?" And don't you love our Lord's response? He didn't say, "Call them back over here and I'll just smooth it all out and I'll tickle their ears." No, He said, "Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Preachers need to boldly, courageously, lovingly preach and proclaim the Word of God that will save souls. Elders, deacons, members need to have courage. Courage will help us do what is right. Courage and obedience go hand in hand. I hope you paid close attention to some of the songs that Brother Don chose tonight. Because you think about those songs. That last song, "Stand Up for Jesus." Friends, we can't do that if we don't have the virtue of courage. We need lion-hearted courage. Remember again what Solomon says, "The righteous are as bold as a lion." Let's be patient. Let's be God's loving people as we speak the truth, but as we stand up for the truth. But may God help us take a stand. And may God help us always do what is right. The lesson is yours tonight. If we can help you in any way become more spiritual, to be stronger as a Christian, we want you to know that we love you. We're here to help you. And if we can help you in any way tonight, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.